Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Plugged In, a Post Media podcast taking you down Canada's electric vehicle highway. I'm your host, Andrew McCready. This week, we're joined by my colleague David Booth to discuss a quite remarkable column he wrote last week for Post Media Driving. And remarkable not in a good way, as it lays out a possible doomsday scenario for Canada's burgeoning electric vehicle battery industry. Let's get right to it. Well, it's great to have you back on the show, David.
Good to be here.
So I don't know how many of my listeners read the Motormouth column that you've been writing for over three decades for Post Media Driving. The most recent one was a bit of an earth shaker in the EV world, I think. And interestingly, I'm not sure if it has gone through to the mainstream media as much yet. I'll preface this by saying you wrote something at the end of it, which is interesting and should pique curiosity for people. It was an author's note. And you wrote, for the first time in the 30-odd years I've penned this column, I'm hoping that my analysis of the automobile industry posted here is wrong. In fact, I can't ever remember wanting to be so wrong. So tell our listeners what you wrote.
We wrote a little while ago that the Inflation Reduction Act in the States was a godsend for Canadian manufacturing, because basically it said that cars that were built in Canada could qualify for the American $7,500 consumer rebate.
Right. We're talking electric cars here, EVs.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you very much. And that was a switch from the Build Back Better plan that was earlier that only gave subsidies, those new EV car subsidies, to cars that were union built in the United States. In other words, a Ford Mustang Mach-E built in Oakville could not qualify for a consumer rebate in the United States, placing it at a huge disadvantage. We fought, our government, our politicians, our automakers fought this long and hard, and they came back with the Inflation Reduction Act. And the most important clause, at least if you read the analyses 2 months ago, was that the $7,500 U.S. rebate for new EVs included EVs that were built in Canada. There was also some stuff about sourcing the minerals for the batteries in North America as well to qualify, but we're well placed with that. So, wow, this was good news. Except, as they say, we didn't read the fine print. And the fine print was this thing called the Advanced Manufacturing Production Credit. And without going into too much detail, it gives automakers who build a battery plant in the United States only 35 dollars for every kilowatt hour of battery they build in a plant in the United States for the battery cell. If they assemble it into a module in the United States, they get a further $10 per kilowatt hour. There's actually some money for minerals, but that's minimal for right now. So basically, build a plant somewhere in the States, and for every kilowatt hour of battery you make, you get $45. It doesn't sound like much until you start adding it up. The average car or EV in North America right now has about 80 kilowatt hours probably. That's $3,600 US of incentive directly to the manufacturer. It's not a consumer thing. It's a manufacturer credit directly into their pockets. A Hummer, which has 212.7 kilowatt hours, GM would receive about $9,600, I think, U.S., directly in their pockets just for building the battery. So, and this is ongoing. In other words, it starts at the end of this year and phases out in 2032. And it appears, and by appears, I say I've checked with everybody I can to make sure I'm correct about this, but it appears it's a running subsidy, not a one-time kind of subsidy for building a plant. You know, you get $700 million one time to build the plant, and then you're on your own. I'll give you a for instance. BMW just announced a 30 gigawatt plant for batteries that's supposed to open, I think, in 26 or so, plus or minus a year. And those 30 gigawatts, when you multiply by $45 for every kilowatt hour, works out to $1.35 billion. And that's every year, every single year. Assuming they're running 5-6 years before the plan is phased out in 2032, that's like $6 or $7 billion for a plant that's going to cost them only $700 million to build. And as I'm saying this, I've had the same feeling that I've had for the last 2 weeks in researching this article, the article I wrote last Friday, and we're still discussing today, in that the numbers are so outrageous, I've got to be wrong. Hence that author's note I added, because, you know, that's one plant. Somebody estimated that the one that is the Panasonic plant in Nevada would be good for $1.05 billion, again, every year. You add it all up, and when I add it all up, if every car has a battery made in the United States, every EV, I should say, that is sold in the United States has a battery made in the United States, it would add up to about $150 billion, billion with a big B, by 2032, which means that there's absolutely no way that Canada can build a battery plant here to ship the components down there and be anywhere near competitive. We cannot compete with that. So the idea that... you know, we've landed the Stellantis plant. GM has a cathode material plant in Bécancour, and there's been other small announcements. But the concept that we're going to get a lot more battery assembly plants is seemingly fleeting. I don't see any way we can do it. There's no way to compete whatsoever with that level of subsidy. And that speaks... with all the battery announcements in the last month, there's been about, I think, $11 billion worth of announcements of construction of plants. And so it seems everybody's getting the message and build in the United States. And again, I've checked with pretty much everybody that'll talk to me, from automakers, governmental relations officers, to the head of one of the largest, or maybe the largest, electric mobility association in Canada. And they concur with my analysis that these monies is not a one-time money, it's an ongoing money. And yeah, a halfway decent, every halfway decent plant will get about $1 billion a year.
So this is, I mean, in the grander scheme of things for the EV revolution, as we call it on this show and other people call it, it's a good thing that America is putting all this money behind the development. But obviously, as you say, it's a terrible thing for Canadian industry. Any indication that the feds, the provincial governments would match this, would come up with their own plan to subsidize kilowatt hour batteries?
How in God's name? I mean, maybe they subsidize one plant, but how can they compete on an even footing to get, say, a third or a quarter of the plants? I mean, we're talking stupid money. I should tell you that one of the governmental agencies that ponder these things, I've forgotten the name, but it's some sort of congressional budget office kind of thing. They estimate that these rules, the AMPTC as it's called, or it's Section 45X in the Inflation Reduction Act, will cost, I think, $27 billion. As one analyst told me, one governmental analyst told me, it seems they're missing a digit. in other words, it's at least 10 times that high. the one hope I can say is that when somebody finally gets to adding up the actual dollars that this act will actually call for, they might come to the conclusion that they either got to put a time limit on this, reduce the subsidy, that kind of thing. And everybody's, you know, I know that Ontario's Doug Ford was just down in Detroit talking about this. And also, hopefully, I believe, trying to shore up support for that Stellantis plant. Because you can imagine, Stellantis announced, I think, a $2 billion plant. I don't know how big it would be. But if that same plant, and this is me just guessing, if that same plant was in the States, it might be good for $500 million to $1 billion a year for the next, you know, from whenever it's constructed till 2032. I can't see Ontario being able to match that. How does puny little Canada, with, you know, 1/10 the population and even less of the GDP of the United States, compete with that kind of money? And again, I'm not sure the Yanks know how much money they've committed to this. The one thing I will say is that because they got so much pushback on the Build Back Better plan for the consumer rebates, the consumer rebates as written in the Inflation Reduction Act are very well crafted. I read it all. I am that big a geek. And I read it all. And it's very exacting. It's very pinpoint. It's already enacted. The 45X section, that subsidy for the battery manufacturing, on the other hand, is incredibly poorly crafted. It's like crafted by a second year law student, and his professor didn't check his work. So, and it's not being applied until the end of the year. So I don't want to create false hope, but I guess there is some hope that with, you know, various governments, South Korea, all of the European Union, Canada's arguing with that provision, amongst others, that there may be, you know, some modification of it. But at least as written, it means that what I've said, all the monies and on an ongoing basis, which means at least between now, as we're speaking, and until they might revise it, you know, any negotiations that might go on between our governments and potential battery suitors can't really go forward, because, you know, how do you negotiate? Well, we think it's going to change to something that will be more favorable to us. You know, nobody commits $2 billion to that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And we have seen in the last month or so, Volkswagen and Mercedes Benz, or Mercedes EQ, I guess it would be, signing letters of intent with the Canadian government about battery factories here.
So... No, that wasn't battery factories. That was just minerals.
Andrew and his guest will be right back after this word from our sponsor.
This is such an important subject. I'm going to risk getting a little geeky with your listeners, and I hope they'll pass along. When you think about it, and as I said, I've been thinking about it along, this bill, and I believe this part is inadvertent. I don't think the Americans crafted it specifically. But the one thing it does is that it really specifically screws Canada. The reason why I say that is, okay, imagine the consumer side of the rebate lets you build a plant in Mexico, Canada, or the States. You could choose any one of the three, and you still get that subsidy. Now, the other subsidies, the second subsidy, the 45X I've been talking about, only can be done in America, and it's the battery. Now, Elon Musk building a plant maybe in Mexico, notwithstanding, I don't think that Mexico is at all competitive with Canada in terms of minerals, or clean electricity, and know-how in this case. So they're not really, they'll be hurt, but not nearly as much as Canada. Canada has all the expertise. We have the minerals. We can build the processing plants. We have the personnel. We have the research. We're going to be the ones getting screwed. So, in other words, you're sitting there and you use Mercedes-Benz and Volkswagen. You've got to build a battery plant someplace in North America to get the consumer credit. Okay, you say, well, okay, Mexico, let's say Mexico's out. I can choose Canada or United States. Then you go to that 45X, that production credit, and you go, okay, I get the full consumer credit, whether I build it in Canada or the US, but I get the manufacturing credit only if I build it in the US. So the people, the one country most damaged will be Canada. And I'd like to think it's inadvertent, but I can tell you it's very direct. We're getting hurt very badly. And if it was written on purpose, it's pretty Machiavellian.
So obviously fair trade subsidies, things like that, are always being debated and argued in world courts. I mean, do you see this thing ending up in something like that?
Oh, for sure. I can't see it not passing. I mean, you know, it's extremely protectionist. The Build Back Better plan, which had the protectionist clauses in it before, union made and all that stuff I mentioned before, was going to violate various free trade pacts. So this would be very impactful on that as well. I think it's called CUSMA now as opposed to USMCA. Yeah. But I, for readers that don't understand, you know, even our listeners, pardon me, that don't understand free trade and all this, imagine, choose any brand. I'm going to choose Volkswagen. Builds an ID5 car that doesn't exist now, so I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. It's got an 80 kilowatt hour battery in it. They build it in Chattanooga or wherever they are in the States. Yep. And they get a 3,600, because they build the battery modules there, and the battery cells. It really is focused. It's from that point of view. You have to build the cells and the modules. And so you get 3,600 US. That works out to today's prices, close to 5,000 Canadian dollars. So then the 5,000 Canadian dollars goes directly to the manufacturer. Then the car comes up here and a Canadian consumer buys it and they get a $5,000 credit from the federal government, and maybe more from your government and the Quebec government, for buying that car. That car that was written and manufactured under a rule that got the manufacturer a $5,000 Canadian dollar credit specifically, as I mentioned before, because it was not produced in Canada. We're going to give a $5,000 rebate to a consumer for a car that was specifically produced in America to get a $5,000 credit instead of us. It's the only thing I'll say, and I'm sorry I've repeated myself, is that I've been working on this story longer than any story I've ever written on in 30 years. And I just could not believe what I was writing, reading, and everything else. I kept looking for where I was wrong and where I made a mistake in my analysis. Because, again, it seems so ludicrous, it seems so protectionist, and the numbers are so freaking big. And I'm sorry, I can't, and nobody else. I got a call from another Canadian major automaker CEO, I know them all, and he basically said, no, every line is spot on in my motor mouth analysis of last Friday.
So because of that, I mean, where's the hue and cry? I mean, is it all being done behind, you know, I kind of think of, you know, when you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, when you first started researching it, I was kind of amazed that the Republican Party in the States was not kicking up their heels saying $100 billion. Where's that going to come from? Especially for EVs, which, let's face it, they're not their favorite thing. So why is it so quiet? Why are we not seeing this, you know, on the Financial Post or in the Wall Street Journal? I mean, and the automakers, I mean, you would think automakers would be getting their picture taken with Biden every day because of this.
Well, okay, that's a lot of questions. One, you can read about it a little bit in the States. The only people that have added up the big dollars, you know, $45 per kilowatt hour. Most people don't understand what a kilowatt hour is, so they don't have any idea how many there are out there, and so it doesn't resonate with them. I've seen a lot of material, not a lot, some material, from law firms and analyst consultant firms, okay, And they're the ones that confirmed, you know, for instance, one of them confirmed that the current Panasonic plant in Nevada that might get $1.05 billion a year and every year. And so they've done it. The only article in the mainstream media, I think, was either clean energy, or maybe it was Inside EVs, did something on it. And it was only five paragraphs because, again, $45 a kilowatt, until you start doing the multiplication, doesn't really sound like a lot, and you don't know what a kilowatt hour is. More disappointing is I've read lots of articles by Canadian analysts, and they've all focused on that benefit of the consumer side of things, which is the that $7,500 that Biden did change from the Build Back Better plan into the Inflation Reduction Act, that allows Canadian-built cars to get $7,500 of consumer rebates. I haven't read anything on 45X, and this manufacturing credit is only available to the states. And I don't know why. It's another reason why I thought I was wrong. I will tell you that in talking with automakers and other people, they're remaining externally quiet because they don't want to rock the boat right now. They don't know where this is going. They don't know if the American administration realizes what kind of numbers they've talked about in this. So they're not doing anything. Privately, it's really funny because those that are already building plants or had plans to build plants or have plants in there are going, oh man, this is great. Oh my God, you mean I'm going to get, for plants I already decided to build, you're going to give me $1 billion a year anyways? Like, I don't have to do anything more than I was going to do anyways? Oh man, rejoice. If you're not that kind of person, if you're not that kind of company that's already got a plan and you had plans to bring something in Canada, and here I'm thinking of Stellantis, and I haven't heard from Stellantis, but everybody I've talked to doesn't understand how they're going to move forward with their plan. Maybe there's some negotiation happening as we speak to save that, but they're in a bad position because they're going to lose on a lot of subsidies having committed to build that plant. So I don't know why people aren't bothered by this. I mean, this could really hurt the auto parts industry in Canada, more specifically here in Ontario. It's huge. It's huge money. So I said, one, I was overwhelmed by the numbers, and two, I was so overwhelmed that I thought I was wrong. It turns out it doesn't appear that I'm wrong, and the numbers are right, and they're huge, and they're very, very difficult to overcome. So I will say this. This is very unlike me to laud a politician, and most especially a liberal politician, but Minister Champagne, who's in charge of the Ministry of Innovation, Science and Technology, I think it is, industry, sorry, is in charge of these negotiations. He's the one that brought Volkswagen and Mercedes to Canada to source their minerals. He did that, and he's been pounding the pavement for the last 6 months, a year, on what he's calling a Mines to Mobility program to get them to come to Canada.
So to that point, the mines, you know, what you always want in a negotiation is leverage. And as you mentioned earlier, Canada has a lot of the material needed to build these batteries in the ground here. Is that a point of leverage for us? I mean, is that something that we say, you want our minerals, you need to back off on this?
I don't know. That'd be yes and no. I mean, they don't want to. The plan has always been, whether it was the Build Back Better plan before and the plan now, the Inflation Reduction Act, was to cut off China. China produces a lot. I think CATL produces a third of all the batteries. And I've heard some numbers that they process about 3/4 of all the materials for EVs in the world. Okay. And so the Americans want to cut them out of the equation completely. On the consumer side, there's a, as I said, there's a clause about the minerals. And by, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact year, but by say 2028, 80% of your minerals have to be basically non-Chinese. In other words, North American sourced, if you want to get that $7,500 consumer rebate. And so, there's so much politics in these discussions. So will we mine materials for the states? Absolutely, we will. Will we process some of those materials? I suspect yes. Will we get some plants that manufacture components of batteries, like the one that does the cathode material for General Motors in Bécancour that's planned? I think a few. But again, Americans get $35 a kilowatt hour to build the battery cell itself in the States, and then $10 more per kilowatt hour to assemble those cells in a module. As long as that stands, it's tough to see how we're going to get a battery manufacturing plant. I suppose, I mean, I came up with the most convoluted thing and passed it by a plan and passed it by some analysts. And they said, we could mine it here. We could process it here. We send it down to the States to build the battery cells and the modules. And then they send the battery modules back up to Canada to be assembled into a finalized battery and then into a car. That could be done and get all the subsidies, but why would anybody do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think even the most casual listener can figure out that that's a pretty convoluted way to go about things. It just makes so much sense. Just build the plant in the States.
Right. Well, your thorough reporting on this issue is the kind of a crack in this. And I'm hoping that, as you said at the end of yours, you know, if anybody has anything to add to this, they can send something to info@driving.ca. I think it's something we're all going to hear about more and more. And a credit to you, David, to have started the ball rolling, at least in Canada, on this issue.
As I said, I've heard from quite a few folks. I do know, for instance, that the CEO of the large automaker, the Canadian automaker, passed the article down to the CEO of the American automaker, or more likely his people, as they say. And they analyzed it and they basically said, yeah, that's what we read too. You know?
Right.
All I'll say is, if I'm wrong, there's a whole bunch of really serious bigwigs in the Canadian automotive industry that are also wrong. A whole bunch.
That's David Booth. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was certainly a sobering discussion with David. My only hope, like his, is that his in-depth analysis of this kilowatt subsidy outlined in the Inflation Reduction Act is incorrect. But as he said, automotive industry players in Canada have confirmed what he has reported. So it looks like we are in for yet another protracted debate and negotiation with our friends to the south. I know David will be following every step of the way, so be sure to read his weekly Motormouth column at driving.ca to keep up to date on this important topic. That's it for this episode. Thanks to my guest David Booth, my exceptional producer Adam Foster, and you for joining me on another electrifying journey down the EV highway. We always welcome your comments and criticisms via email at pluggedin@postmedia.com. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new EVs in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. And be sure to subscribe to Plugged In wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode, and you'll also be able to listen to all the episodes from seasons 1 through 4. Thanks as always for listening.